Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody just look back over your life and see where it brought you from. How many of you know prayer changes? I heard that prayer changes. I believe that prayer changes. I know that prayer changes things. Prayer changes. I heard that prayer changes. I believe that prayer changes. I know that prayer changes things. Now I was in a real bad abusive relationship, knowing that there was no way for me to live. A young girl like me, raised up in a good family, way too young to endure such misery. And every night I cry myself to sleep from all the pain. And the more I pray for sunny days, it seems to rain. At any given time, for no reason at all. So hard. My God, sometimes I fall. Mama asks what happened to me, and I take up for him. She says the devil's a liar. Pray God.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Welcome to D&K Bible Break Live on this Monday. We just want to say thank you for joining us. We're live on Blog Talk Radio. Also, we're on the phone line at 845-277-9094. And I just want to say thank you for joining us tonight. I am your host, the one and only, the Chaos Man, Derek Oliver, with my co-host, my bride, lovely wife, Miss Kay. And we just want to say good evening to everyone. And it's good to be back. A little under the weather still. I just gave some blood at the doctor's office, and trying to get myself back into shape, but prayers and everything will be okay. We're going to try to go ahead and get through this show tonight very quickly, and we got a great conversation for you tonight. So without any further ado, I want to introduce Miss Kay. You there, Kay?
I am here. Good evening. Good Monday.
Yes, I want to thank you for taking over last week. Thank you for taking over for tonight. We'll be in and out. But we just want to thank all my sponsors and everyone who makes this possible. And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get right into it. Okay, you want to open up in prayer?
Yes. All right, Father God, we come to you this evening. First of all, just asking for forgiveness for anything that we've done wrong, unpleasant in your sight. We ask that you be over the topic on tonight. We ask that your will be done, that the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Thank you for just being who you are, and we ask that you just continue to lift everyone up at this time in our in our society. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I just got a bad connection.
Yeah, I got a message that the connection is not good. So I don't know.
Okay.
What?
Well, I'm going to let my engineers know because we got all 100% on my end. okay, we're gonna keep it moving. Maybe it could just be my mic. So I want them to check my mic out because I hear you fine and you got 100%. So we're going to keep it rolling. Hopefully everyone can hear us fine. I just want to thank the Lord for allowing me to see another day. I got an issue with my sugar not being where it's supposed to be. And right before we went on the air, it's still not where it's supposed to be. So for those that's praying for me to know how to intercede, just pray. We're going to go to the doctors in the morning, and hopefully they're going to do an IV and do a sugar drip. That's what they call it, and try to get us situated, hopefully in the morning. So just keep me in prayer. So tonight, we're going to move right along. Tonight, we're going to have a
good conversation.
Before you get started,
I got a bone to pick real quick. Now, before the show came on, the song that you played, you know I got an issue. Did you choose that song purposely?
Everything I do is calculated, but that's going to be my show for next week. What's the problem you got with the song? The song is Prayer Changes Things.
Well, who was singing the song?
Okay, it's not about who was singing the song. Okay, and?
Well, we're not, I don't want to be supporting somebody that's in a situation regardless of what song they're singing.
Wow,
I
okay.
think you're trying to start a little chaos. You're trying to start a little chaos on
no,
this
no,
evening.
No, 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 I don't have the strength to do chaos right now. But to prove your point, the song was called Prayer. I don't really care who sings the song. There's been a lot of people who did things that was not right. But when you write a song or you listen to a song, a lot of songs that we listen, we don't know, you know, I don't know what Kirk Franklin do. If you look at him and you look at him, I'm not judging anybody, but if you look, it don't seem like, you know, I don't know. I like the song, you know, to be perfectly honest with you.
That's the difference, though. The difference is you said you don't know, but because we do know some of the things that are going on, that's the difference. You don't know, okay, you don't know. You can't be held accountable for something that you don't know, but when you do know, now what?
Okay, so you're telling me because of what this man did, or allegedly did, because he hasn't had a trial yet, but what he allegedly did, and because I play his music, I'm supporting him when it's a gospel song?
We got too many gospel artists that we could play. We don't have to step out and,
well, we don't,
and
I
play.
I don't know what they're doing. And some of them look kind of flaky to me. So
that's my point. They're not on trial for situations. Now, if they're on trial, then that's one thing. And they're not on trial, okay, then nothing has came out about that individual.
Well, let me just go ahead and say, well, what about Paul? Well, okay, because you bring that up, and I'm not going to get into this with you. What about Paul? Before Paul became Paul, before he got that, on the road of Damascus, he was a mass murderer. He was killing Christians. So you mean to tell me you can't follow Paul because what he did?
Okay.
Prior?
Did Paul not ask for forgiveness and serve the Lord wholeheartedly after that?
You don't, first of all, for a person to sing a gospel song like he sung, you don't know if that man asked for forgiveness or not. And I don't know if he did or not.
Just talented.
But
at the same, just talented. That don't mean that there's no difference.
That's
not even a topic. I just wanted to know why you went there with that, because you know that I know you. But anyway, that's not even our topic.
Well,
I just wanted to know why.
Because that's what I wanted to play. There was no rhyme or reason why I did it, but I'm not going. You got me wanting to play it again, just to play it, just to prove a point.
You have mercy.
But the point that so you get me off the subject that we spoke. I'm trying to focus on one thing tonight, and that's what we're going to talk about. And what we're going to talk about tonight is when you really say that you're going to turn it over to the Lord, do you really turn it over to the Lord, or is it just a cliche? Now, we ain't going to be real deep. It's just a simple comment. When we say we're turning something over to the Lord, are we saying it to sound good to ourselves, or are we just saying it because we really turned it over to the Lord? And my wife had a couple good points that she's going to bring out here in a few minutes about when we say things, are we just saying it just to be saying it, or do we really turn that thing over? So go ahead, Kay, and I'll piggyback off of what you're going to start with.
Well, we're going to be talking about, you know, everybody says the phrase, let go and let God. We say it all the time. We may say it verbally, but are we really doing it? It may look like we're doing it. We may go through the motions that we're letting it go, but internally it's still there. So how this came about, yesterday my daughter, she went off to college. We took her up to her school, and to me, it was like, okay, it was a happy occasion. I prayed for her and my niece. I put oil all on them, anointed the doors and everything. And when I left, I was at peace. And a lot of people know, they're like, well, did you break down? Did you lose it? And I'm like, no. I mean, I didn't, only because I prayed for them. And I'm like, they're in the hands of God. I can't do nothing about worrying for them. So it's like, I can truly say for this particular situation, I let it go, and I'm letting God handle it, because I can't be with her 24/7. I can't monitor her. I can't protect her from where I'm at, but I can pray, and God's got her. So when I thought about that, I'm like, there's other things in life that I wish it was that easy for me to just let go and let God. I have plenty of things that, you know, I deal with, whether it's like painful memories or painful situations that I've been through in the past, even unhealthy habits. Some of these things is kind of hard to let go. I may want to let it go. I may desire to let it go. But in actuality, am I going through the work to really let it go? Am I taking the proper steps to let it go? And if I was to be honest, I'm going to say no. I could be good for a period of time. Something can trigger something, and then I'm right back where I was before. So that's what we're talking about tonight, letting go and letting God. I know it's cliche, but we're going to
– we're going to dive into it, because I have a couple of them. And I say it, you know, I'm going to let it go, let God, leave it in God's hands. You know, I'm quick to say that, no matter what the situation is. But the truth of the matter is, there's some situations – that's going on in my life right now. I say I'm gonna turn it over to the Lord. I'm gonna leave it alone. I tell my wife I ain't gonna deal with it no more. And yet I find myself still stressing about situations that I didn't said I didn't turn it over to the Lord about. And a lot of times, and I'm just gonna be speaking from the heart and being truthful with it, and I'll pick it up some other time. But a lot of times we say stuff because we like to hear ourselves talk. It sounds good in the moment. We want to be intelligent. But there's some things, and there's a few things that eat me up right now. And if I was to be honest, I would say I turned that over to the Lord. But at night I struggle with it because it bothers me, because I want to handle it. And I don't want the Lord. I want to handle it. I'm to be honest. I want to handle the situation. I want to be in control of the situation. But even though I know that's not the right thing to do, I know that's not the right way to act, but the flesh in me kicks in and wants to take over situations, especially when it comes to our kids, my kids. You know, I'm very protective, and, you know, I'd like to think I'm hardcore when it comes to, because I got boys, but there's certain things, you know, my oldest son is going through something, and he's hurting, and I keep praying, and I, Lord, give him strength. But yet, I want to take over. I want to make sure everything is going to be okay. And that's not what I'm supposed to do, but I'm quick to say it. And as my wife was saying, she let her daughter go to school yesterday, and she was really at peace. I don't think it hit her yet, but in some incidents, I know my wife, there's certain things that she struggles with. And if I was to say something, I know she would, you know, fall back. Because, to be honest with you, I don't think, and this is just speaking from the heart, being truthful, I don't think that sometimes we want to let the Lord handle the situation. I think we want to be involved in the situation. And see, when the Lord is fighting a battle for you, he don't want us involved. It's his fight. It's not our fight. But because we want to get in the flesh sometimes, I just think it becomes a lack of maturity and a lack of trusting in the Lord. You know, I've been saved almost 40 years. I should know better. I should be able to turn everything over to the Lord and leave it alone. But there's a few things I just can't turn over. I'm just being truthful. And I'm going to ask for help. How do you turn it over? Now, I know I got scriptures. I pray about it. But then it's that stubborn flesh control over a situation. Just take control. And sometimes what I'm getting and what I'm learning, and this is just for me. You ain't got to help no one. This is for me. is sometimes we have to go the full course and just take a step back and let God work without jumping in and jumping out. We'll jump in 1 minute, then we'll jump out. We'll jump in when the situation gets real tight and you want it, but when going all calm and cool, we jump out. God can handle it. But when it gets too rough, we want to do God's work, and that's wrong. I'm just going to be honest, it's wrong. When we're supposed to let go and let God, we're supposed to be mature enough to let that thing go and think about it no more. And a lot of times, and the Lord has been telling me this and dealing with me with this, you know, we pray all the time, over and over, the same prayer, watch over our kids. And to be honest with you, you're supposed to one time and just leave it in God's hands and stop going back there. And I think that's what, and this, I could be wrong, wife, you let me know, is because I keep going back there praying. I keep opening up the same can of worms. I won't just let it go. Pray one time and let it go. And when you pray one time, you got to have enough discipline to believe in what you're praying.
You know, what I think is a lot of the times what we do, we say that when we let go, you say, I quit, I give up, I'm done with it. Those are the words that we use when we let go. I'm done. I'm not dealing with it. Instead of saying, I surrender this to you, I lay it at your feet, Lord, for you to take it up. We want to keep it. We want to say, I quit, which means you're not really surrendering it. You're just laying it down for a second. You're going to pick it back up at any given time. And so that's what a lot of us do. We say the words, we go through the action, the motions, but we're not really surrendering that situation to the Lord. We're really not saying, Lord, you got it, and let him have it. We're just talk. And God knows if we're sincere. And he knows at the same time that we might fall and be like, I didn't mean to pick it back up, but I kind of slid back in there and took on that responsibility that I shouldn't have took on. So it's a matter of surrendering. I want to read 1 Peter 5 and 7. It says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You know, we all got a lot of things going on, whether it's major decisions that we're making or minor decisions that we're making. We all got, you know, more bills than we got money. We all struggle with that situation from time to time. And our personal relationships, they may be suffering. And, you know, it seems like, you know, you may not be able to reach that child that you're trying to get to. It's like they're making all the wrong decisions. And we're stressing out, not sleeping at night, just stressing, trying to figure out something for somebody else. When that person is la-di-da and don't care about anything that you're talking about. So we're stressing ourselves out about situations that if we would just surrender that situation to the Lord, it would be so much easier to get on with our day. Because at the end of the day, God is the only one that can see everything. He knows everything. We cannot be in multiple places at one time. There's no way for us to be able to handle the situation regardless. We can't do it better than the Lord can. We cannot. We may think we can do it better than the Lord can. That's why it's important. I'm not saying I got all the answers, but I try to say, Lord, let your will be done, because I may be wanting something to be done that's not even good. I remember I shared a story before how I was trying to get this job and I kept taking a test and I'm like, I know how to work the computer and I know the basic programs and all this. And for some reason, I couldn't pass this one part of the test. And I wanted this job so bad. It was like 9 to 6, I believe. The pay was good. And I'm like, I cried because I didn't get that job. The thing is, that's not the job the Lord wanted me to have. And till this day, the job that he wanted me to have, I have that job making way more than what that other job paid, and I can do it from my house. So the thing is, if you let the Lord's will be done, if you surrender the situation to him, even though it may not feel like you want to let it go, it may not feel right, like you feel like you need to be involved, trust the Lord. He can do it better than you can. But we got to surrender. Go ahead, husband.
So, no, I'm just saying, so it's just that easy just to surrender, just to say I surrender. And the thing that I know as speaking as a man and speaking from where I'm coming from, it's easy to give the scriptures of how to turn it over to the Lord, all things work together. It's easy to say that when a situation is favorable to how the outcome is going to be reached. And you know, I'm going to walk this tightrope tonight because there's some incidents and some situations going on where I don't know how this situation is going to end. It could end very bad, or it can end being a testimony. So therefore, as you say, surrender, and then you surrender, but the reality is in your brain. So sometimes you have to allow the to die and let the spirit to take over. And it's a hard thing to do. Mm-hmm. Now, we can talk about bills, okay. When it comes to bills, it's easy for me to surrender. When it comes to certain other aspects to life, it's easy to surrender. But when it comes to things that you really care and you really, that will hurt you, the things that you don't want to see hurt, like your kids. And there's some parents that be like, well, let them, and I get it. I get it. Because my oldest son is going through something that I wouldn't wish on anybody. And because he has not, how can I say, developed as a man as soon as I liked him to, the fact that he tried and he got hurt, it makes me want to hurt. And because I don't want to see him hurt, I want to take the pain for him. I want to do the Lord's job. And no, there's not a scripted, can't no one tell me that I can just surrender that. Because I don't expect a lot of men to understand this. I expect a few men to understand it because I'm not going to be phony with it and say I'm going to turn it over to the Lord. I will say that in, you know, general speaking, but to be truthful with you tonight, my wife knows me better than anybody else, I will be up trying to figure out what's the best way, how we can make this hurt a lot less than what's going on. And regardless of the situation, I don't really have to talk about the situation. It's just a situation that when it hits home and it hits your heart, not talking about bill. Some people's situation may be bill. Some such people, it may be whatever it may be.
Let me say this, because I do know you and I know how you operate. And I'm not saying that I got it down to a science because you know I don't. But when it comes to our kids, you've seen me plenty of days crying, stressed, worried about what's going on with my crew, stressed about situations that I can't control. And the more I allow myself to get stressed out about the situation, what I found was the enemy would just keep, like, planting thoughts in my mind, like, he would make the situation way worse than what it is because of my thought process. He would be like, oh, this happened, and I would have visions of this. And I'm like, that's not from God. The enemy wants you to not trust God. He wants you to hold on. He wants you to be bound by whatever the situation is, especially those things that are close to you. He knows where to reach you. And when it comes to our kids,
I'm just let me cut you off real quick because I don't want to lose. See, you make it sound easy, like I don't trust God.
It's
trust
not
God.
Easy.
I
it's
know
not
God,
easy.
And
I'm
I know that He
that.
Can change it. But what I'm saying is, when you're in a situation, especially from a man's point of view, when something attacks, and because I know the abilities that I have with Christ. And because I have a relationship with Christ, it's sort of like having permission from Christ, because I know Christ. I pray to Him daily. So what people don't understand and what we don't talk about enough is when you are sold out for Christ, sometimes And I'm not saying that it's right, but we got to address it, especially as men and prideful men and men that are strong and men who know how to be leaders. We're not going, it's like we're taking an L, and we're really not. And this is where I'm working on it. So you got to work with me as I weave and dodge certain things, because I know Christ is going to prevail in the end. But I know I got to do my part. I know I got to pray. I know I got to be fasting for situations. But when it comes to that one situation or a few situations, I want to be a part of this, because it's just, you know, it's hard to say you just going to sit this one out. Now, counseling somebody else, I'm not saying it's not a problem.
He may be wanting to work on that person, and he wants that person to lean on him. And if you always there throwing in a lifeline for them to look at you for help, they're not going to learn to look at God for help.
Well, so, you're right, but also, and I'm just you saying this, and since we're using me as an example, and I don't mind being an example, but there's a lot of what I want to call deadbeat dads out there. And it's hard when you're doing things right, and you don't just want to just not. See, for a deadbeat, it's easy just to take a step back. It's easy, okay, I'm not going to get involved in this. It's easy to do that. But when you are the head, and you got to make hard decisions, it's hard to just say, I'm going to stop. And that separates from me, and I could be wrong, I'm quite sure someone will correct me. It's hard to do that. And I don't care if you're a man and you providing for your family, and when you see someone get hurt, you don't just let it go. And I shared this story with my wife before, when my baby son was riding a bike, and he wanted a bike and got training wheels. He got the bike, got the training wheels. He went outside for about 10, 15 minutes. He come back inside because the kid was picking on him because he had training wheels. He wanted the training wheels off the bike. I said, you ain't ready for the training wheels to be off the bike. He made me take the training wheels off the bike, and as he was riding the bike, he would fall. And it would bother me, because he was crying, but he wasn't crying. He would get back on the bike. I wanted him to quit, but I knew if he quit, he would never ride a bike again. So you pushing him, even though he has hurt him, and as a parent, it hurting you as well, because you don't want to see your kids hurt. So you brush him off, and you give him the words, and you let him go again, and you're there with them. But now you're not there with them, and they're hurting.
It's the same process.
But you want to be there.
The same thing.
You want to be there.
No. You can't be everywhere. That's why. That's what I said. You can't be everywhere.
I'm just saying. I'm saying quality. I'm not saying I'm right. So don't think that I'm right. I'm just saying, for men, or for women who have a belief, or a purpose for certain things, it's hard to say, let's let it go and let God. I mean, people say that all the time. And as we're discussing it today, we know a lot of times we don't do that. And in some cases, in most parts of men in your life, we do that. We're pretty good at let go, let God. Okay, this area, let go, let God. And things flourish so much good. But when it comes down to your own and just being a man about a situation, and we can say it, if our bills is paid and we're good. And I've seen it, because we got more bills than we got money, but everything is met and we got some left over. So we're good when it comes, but when it comes to something like your kids or your parents, is like, okay, Lord, I need some help with this, because it's just not that easy to let go. It's just not. And you got to surround yourself around people who's going to walk you through certain situations and just be like, okay. And in some situations, with my oldest son, I had to let him go on certain situations. Not when he was hurting, when he was hurting, let him go. Okay, you go to jail, you're not getting that. You know the consequence. Yeah, that's fine, and you can do that. But when your son is trying and he gets hurt, it's a whole nother level. It's a whole nother level. And I'm not talking about, you know, them being disrespectful and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm talking about when they're hurting about something, when you see them and they're trying and they get hurt and you just want to protect them, it's a whole nother ball game. Surround yourself and be with people who can help you through these situations, because, you know, I need help. You know, the situation is not like it's overtaking me, and it's not like it's beating me up. But, you know, there's some things that, you know, I know the Lord's will should be done, but sometimes it's hard to let the Lord do his will, especially when you see somebody that you love and they're getting hurt, and you know the word and you know Christ. And see, with me, I know Christ like he's my best friend. So I feel like I can say and do certain things that other people can't. That's just my relationship with the Lord. And when you're walking with the Lord like that, sometimes, you know, it's not having a puffed up spirit, but when you know the Lord and you know what the Lord can do, it's like, okay, we can handle this. And see, that's the problem I just said. We can handle this. It's not a we thing. It's about a him thing. And when I learn to let it be about him and I can take that one step back without hesitation, then I believe situations be a little bit better. But it's hard to do it because these situations are like a dime a dozen. I haven't had a lot of practice.
A lot of the times, some of the things that we struggle with is like shame and guilt. Situations that we've been through in our life, we were not proud of, or we feel guilty about, you know, those things that you've already moved on from. Your people in your life, they like to bring back those situations. When you've already been delivered from a situation, they still want to put you back there. And that could be. Go ahead.
No, I mean, that's a total different thing. Now, when people want to bring up your past and bring up stuff that you have been delivered from, or they still want to hold you hostage by what you did back in the 80s or the 70s or whenever you did it, to me, the people that's doing it are bullies. Number one, I call them spiritual bullies. And number two, if you allow yourself to let what people say dictate how you feel, then you're really not over it yourself. You know, I have this thing, if I mess up, I just mess up. Okay, my bad. Tomorrow's going to be a new day. I'm done with it. I'm not going to keep dwelling on something I did wrong yesterday on tomorrow. I've learned to let that go. It's less stressful. But there's people in my family, there's people around who don't like me that will bring up stuff that I may have did or may have said. And Lord, forget it. Don't let me misquote a scripture. And I, you know, I'm good for that, because they'll hold that. You be misquoting scripture. I've done it, and I'm not doing it purposely, but I've done it. And it's like, okay, them people, and I'm at a level now, I don't really care about those type of people, because they're just trying to make themselves look better than what you are. And you can't allow what people say about you affect how you live your life. What you did yesterday is over with. What you did 5 minutes ago is over with. And every day we get new mercies. So, you know, God didn't forgive you. You just got to keep it moving. And I don't allow what people say or do bother me. I could really care less. Now, when it comes to the people in my circle, people that I love, sometimes that hurt or that throwing that stuff up on you, it does bother you. But then again, you got to understand that people don't like your relationship with Christ. And when they don't like your relationship with Christ, any little thing you do is going to be an issue. That's why I really can't deal with church folks. Because no matter what, you're going to lose in somebody's eyesight. I already know people talk about me. I already know it. And if you say, you know, because I have the spirit of discernment, I know when people are talking about me, I know why they don't like me, because I really don't care. I say what I want to say, when I want to say it, how I want to say it. It doesn't bother me. The only person I answer to is to the Lord. And when I say that because it's the truth. Now, do I got to answer to my pastor? Yeah, I got to answer to my pastor. If he says something, I got to listen and obey and listen to it. And that's been fair. But if I'm following what God is telling me to do on a day-in, day-out basis, everyone else can kick rocks. And you can't allow what people say about you or what you did in your past, or you haven't forgiven yourself. And if you haven't forgiven yourself, you can be bullied into thinking you got to go through all these hoops to make people accept you. It ain't about what people is accepting. It's about if Christ is accepting you. And if he's forgiving you, then it really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. That's just the way I feel about it. And church folks are the number one folks that always want to judge and always got something to say. They always got a scripture. They always got something. But are they really living their lives too? I'm going to get in this tomorrow. But, you know, why do you even study the Word of God? Why do you study? And if you're not studying to have a better relationship with Christ, and not only have a better relationship with Christ, but to be Christ-like and do what Christ did. Because if you're not ministering on a daily basis, now this is just me, I'm just going to question your relationship with the Lord. Now, I'm not going to question, I'm just throwing it out there. Because me personally, and this is just a Derek thing, every time I hear the Word of God, I want to do more for Christ. I want to do more for Christ. I want to do more for Christ. Even though it may not be successful, I'm going to fail trying to please God. So when I hear the Word, I don't want to be a doer of the Word. And not only being a doer of the Word, it may not be what I'm specifically good at, but I'm going to try it because I want to be pleasing in the Lord's sight. And see, a lot of times we get around, and what I say, we're rich spiritually, but we're lazy because we're not doing nothing for Christ. Me and my wife, me and UK, we can talk about the Word all day long. We can quote scriptures to one another all day long. But if we walk outside our front door and we don't live it, we're not practicing it, what good are we? But we can take a highlighter and highlight certain things in the Bible and leave it there. It's like having whatever your favorite car is. It could be an Escalade, and it could be have everything on it. If it ain't got no gas, it can't go nowhere. It just looks good. And there's a lot of people who go to church on Sunday who just look good. You can quote scriptures. You can sing. You can, but if you're not doing no good out the four walls that you live in, you ain't going nowhere. You just you could be a Bentley, and what good is it to have keys to a Bentley that has no gas? You can't go nowhere. And a lot of people ain't going nowhere. But you can quote scriptures. You can teach a lesson. You can sing a song. But you're not going nowhere. What are you doing? You ain't got to post it all over the place what you're doing. But at the end of the day, you're going to want to celebrate what Christ is doing in your life. You can't hold it to yourself. People say, well, you're arrogant. No, I'm not arrogant. I'm just happy what the Lord is doing in my life. I'm happy to be able to talk. You don't know how much pain I'm in right now. I'm just happy to be able to have breath to talk about the Lord. So what am I going to do with what I'm learning? I'm going to do whatever the Lord allows me to do. So getting back to what I said, when something bothers or hurts something that hurts me, yeah, the natural instinct in me because of who Christ is and what Christ stands for is to fight. I'm not saying it's right, but that's what we do. We fight for Christ. We're fighting, even though he's going to fight our battles for us, and he says that. You cannot tell me that with all the word that you've attained over the years and the lessons, that you don't want to go out and fight for the Lord. And there's a song saying, I'm on a battlefield I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield. Okay, I don't have to fight, but when you get prepared to you put the your armor on, you want to fight. And what I'm saying, and hopefully I'm not, people don't take this the wrong way, it's kind of hard to put on all this equipment, throw a punch in the fight. It's kind of hard. And for me, being a man, and I'm going to say it again, being a man, I ain't talking about a deadbeat man, because a real man going to want to throw a punch. A real man going to want to fight. It's deadbeats that don't want to do nothing. They just want to sit back and keep their legs crossed. I want, for what Christ did for me, he healed me from cancer. Why wouldn't I want to fight? And I'm not saying that it's right. It's just the desire that I have to fight for the Lord. And if the only thing that you can say bad about me is I was trying to fight the Lord's fight, I take that all day, every day. You can put that on my, I tried to fight, even though it wasn't mine. But everything he did for me, that's just my desire. Other people got desires of women, sex, alcohol, all these other stuff. My desire is to fight next to the Lord. Even though he tell me he don't want me to, that's my desire. So I can be wrong all day, every day. That's just me. And I know a few other men that will stay right with me and be right there, right with me. And I'm not saying that it's right. So don't. It's just a mentality when you've been serving the Lord and serving the Lord and serving the Lord, and you got a relationship with the Lord. At some point, you do want to fight because you get tired of the devil messing with you. You get tired of the devil, and I understand that it's the Lord's will and our understandings, not his understandings and all of that. I get all of that, but it's just my relationship with the Lord. And the Lord ain't told me one time, he ain't never chastised me for having the attitude that I have. Church folks try to tell me you're wrong. Well, Oliver, you need to calm down and you need, okay, well, that's your take. My take is everything the Lord done for me, I'm going to put this armor on and I'm going to swing this sword. That's just me. Take it or leave it.
All right. you said a whole mouthful. If I can go back to my point that I was trying to make, just a side note to everything that you just said in regards to, I'm just going to put this in a side pocket. So not to take away from anything that you just said, but what I was trying to say about letting go of the shame and the guilt, we got to do that because it's stopping us from pursuing righteousness. And there was a scripture that I wanted to share. It's Romans 8:1. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation from those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the spirit of life. Hold on. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's where I wanted to go. And what I was trying to say with that point is, like, with church people, they have a way of keeping you bound in a situation. If they know your past, they know things, your history, they know your upbringing, they knew you before you got saved, they want to hold you in that area and don't want you to grow. And I just wanted to make a point. The Bible said there is no condemnation, none, which means that people shouldn't be doing that. The Lord said there's no condemnation. So I just wanted to encourage somebody that's listening, don't let nobody hold you there. Don't let nobody have that power to keep you bound in that situation that you've already been through, that the Lord's already delivered you from. Live out your purpose through Christ and forget everybody else. Because I've been hurt by church people, and they have, even family members, they have a way of bringing things back to your remembrance. It's like, I don't live there anymore. So I just wanted to give that scripture as a side note to what I was saying initially. Now, to go further into what you were saying, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I'm just to the point now in my mentality and my attitude is when people who have had a past, regardless what it is a past, and we all have sinned and are sinning on a daily basis, whether you want to admit it or not, we've all had sin. So therefore, it's not right for me to look at someone, regardless, and try to down them or shame them because of their past. And the only what I would like to say to them is, screw everybody. You do what the Lord is telling you to do and be free with it. And I'm not saying we're not going to make mistakes, but every night, everybody go to sleep. And every morning when everybody wakes up, I don't care how many baths you take in the middle of the night, when you wake up from your sleep, you still got to go wash yourself because there's still some dirt on you. So when you have that mentality and you think about it like that, can't no one really tell me nothing about my past, even my present that I'm living in, because I'm being worked on by the Lord. And the Lord is working things out the way the Lord is working things out. And like we always say, let the Lord's will be done. Sometimes it takes a little longer for some folks than it do for other folks. Some people can get delivered instantly. I've seen it happen. And then some people will struggle with the same thing and take it to their grave because that's what they're struggling with. That's them. It ain't got nothing to do with me or their relationship with Christ because we all struggle with something. And the Bible tells us that. We've all have fallen sin. We all fallen short, and we've all sinned. And if any man says that he hasn't, he's a liar. The truth is not in him. That's the word. And when I say that, it's just important for people to understand. We got to, in church folks need to just stop trying to be better than everybody else. Because we all got a past, and we all got things that we hid that people don't even know that's in private. And if the Lord would only show the private publicly, you know, if y'all saw the stuff that I did in private publicly, I probably wouldn't even have a radio show. But at the same token, I got people thinking now, what is that all of it doing? I see that you're mind in the wrong place. We all got things we struggle with. The thing about it is every morning we get up, we wash it off. We wash it off and we're clean. Until some point of the day, you come home, you're out there, something is going on in your brain, something is going on. You're going to do something that's not pleasing. That's why we got to be careful before we start judging other people and how they do things. But since we on that, how do you feel about people who come to church, can quote scriptures, can teach, can do all these things, but don't do nothing for Christ? Like I said earlier, it's like having a Rolls Royce, but don't have no gas in it. But you got the keys to it. But you can't go nowhere. And what the church is today, they're not going nowhere because they don't have no gas.
They have a form of godliness. It's just a form.
Basically, it's just a form. And what we're trying to say, and it's just a conversation. We ain't trying to be deep. We ain't trying to answer a whole lot of questions. And you know, I always come out here and put myself on the line. But I'm being truthful and being truthful and being a man. And you know, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about men because it's very hard for me to look at other men that's not being a man. And that bothers. It just bothers me. Because real men do real men things. We shouldn't have to be asked. You should just do it. Shouldn't have to be told. You should just do it. A friend of mine said, just do something. Just do something. Do it. But now we want to give everybody a cookie for being a man, for doing the right thing. Everybody wants praise for just doing the right thing. That's what you're supposed to do. You ain't supposed to get no cookie or nothing like that. That's what a man's supposed to do. And when it comes time to protect yours, you should be willing to fight for yours. And I'm not saying people are not willing to fight, but my wife would tell you, she has to calm me down when it comes to mine, because it ain't got nothing to do with this, that, or the other. It's just me and the Lord, we just got that type of reputation. I think I can conquer all things because I'm tight with the Lord. And because I'm tight with the Lord, okay, yeah, all my decisions isn't right. All my ways isn't right. Yeah, the Lord is going to fight my battles for me. But when you have a relationship with the Lord, you just feel a little bit. You got a little bit of pep.
If I can, I got three scriptures that I want to get out, and I'll let you continue with your comment. But if I can just give these three scriptures, Proverbs 16:3, it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what obstacles.
Read that again. Read that again for me. Read that one more time. Proverbs what?
Proverbs 16:3.
What did it say?
Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans.
All right. So, he will do what? He will establish your plan. Right. Whose plan? See, I know I'm not crazy when I talk about what I'm talking about, but go ahead.
The point is, you know, God's going to see you through, even if it doesn't look like it according to your eyesight. He already know what's going on behind the scenes, and he's going to work it out. The other scripture I wanted to share was Psalm 34:17. It says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. There is light at the end of the tunnel. It may be dark right now. Situations may be dark, but there is light. You may not like the situation.
Read that scripture one more time, please.
Psalm 34:17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers
So if I'm doing what I'm doing, I'm actually crying out. So my actions is a cry out. And finish that scripture again.
He delivers them from all their troubles.
He's going to deliver me. Even though I'm trying to fight, and if I'm trying to fight in Jesus' name, he's going to deliver. He's going to take everything that I got going out. As long as I'm doing it the way the Lord will have me do it, and because me and the Lord is tight, I'm not talking about going to get no Uzis and go beat no one or shoot no one, but I want to handle the situation. I'm crying out to the Lord. I want to handle the situation. The Lord hears my cries. He knows what I'm trying to do. But what he's going to do, he's going to intercept, and he's not going to allow me to do it, but he will do it. Go ahead.
The last one is 2 Chronicles 15:7. It says, but as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded.
Say that again.
2 Chronicles 15:7. But as for you, be strong and do not give up.
Be strong and don't give up. That means I can still have the actions that I want to have. See, the thing about it is even though I'm trying to do the Lord's work and he sees what I'm doing, he's going to intercept and intervene for me where I don't have to throw a punch or throw a blow. And I got a quick testimony, so go ahead, because this is going to get good.
Okay.
Because, you know, I'm starting to feel good right now.
Let me finish my last thing, and I'm going to let you just have your way. But I just wanted to, you know, encourage you to keep pressing toward the mark. And I want everybody to know that you matter to God. You really matter. He loves you. He cares for you. And he knows the tears you cry. And he knows that ache and pain that you feel. And he just wants you to surrender to him. Just let him fight your battles. Because you can't do it like he can. I'll let you have the floor. Go ahead.
It's good. I hope everyone got something out of it. But there was a situation not too long ago with my, and you always say I talk too much, but I really don't say what I got to say anyway. a situation with my son's daughter. That's really what I'm talking about. And my son was so hurt. I'm going there because this is what happened.
Okay,
this is a true story.
Don't go into details, please.
I'm not going into detail. I'm going to go into what happened with me in the situation, because my son wanted to do something that was not right. And as I was counseling him on the phone, I felt his pain and his hurt. So as I was ministering, I'm like, the Lord is going to take care of the situation. I was giving him everything that the Lord was putting on my heart to do. But then after I hung up the phone with him, I wanted to do what I wanted to do. So when I went to do the research to look for a certain individual, because I knew what I was going to do, I didn't want him to do it because I don't want him to get his hands dirty. But because I know how to do certain things, so I'm on the phone, come to find out that the individual I was looking for was already in prison. See, I didn't have to do nothing. I didn't have to say. I didn't have to do anything. All I did was check, and the Lord made the situation to me where I can't even get hurt. I can't even do it because the person was already. It may not have been for what he should have been, but he was already behind bars. And that's when I say me and the Lord is on the same page sometimes, because it always works that way out with me. That's my relationship with the Lord. I didn't have to do nothing. Even though I was trying to, the Lord protected me. He hid me where I didn't have to do anything. And when it comes to my health, yeah, I had cancer, but he delivered me from that. Regardless of what the doctors say, what anybody else says, this, that, or the other, or any other type of condition, me and the Lord is on a certain situation. We have this relationship, and he knows me, and he knows what I'm capable of, and he knows how to control me, hide me, where I'm not out there looking crazy or doing something stupid or foolish or recklessness, because I know enough word. And when you know enough word and you apply it, it doesn't mean that everything that I do and all my decisions is right and correct. What I'm saying is, if you have a relationship, when you're studying the word and you're listening to the word and you're crying out to the Lord, when you cry out, it may not be the right thing. And I'm going to say this, it makes some people mad. It may not be the right thing. You may want to hurt somebody. But if you're crying it out and you're telling it, if you're venting to the Lord, he will hear your cries and he will step in the situation for you. It may not go the way you want it to go, but he will step in the situation and he will give you the calm and the peace that you will need to rest at night. You can't sit up here and say that you can't cry about it. You can't sit up here and say you can't vent about it. It depends on who you're venting to. Now, if I'm venting to somebody like someone that wants to see me in trouble, well, let's go do this, Elder Oliver, knowing that it's going to cause me to go to jail, then, yeah, you're going to go to jail. That's just foolishness. But if you're crying out to the Lord, Lord, this is what I want. It may not be right. But if you're crying out to him and you're telling him what you want and you're telling him, he's going to intervene for you. That's what I know about my Christ. I don't know about everybody. That's what I know. That's why I can't no one hold nothing over my head, because I've already established a relationship with Christ. And I hope I'm not going all over the place, but it is what it is. When you have that relationship with Christ, when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and everything, and even when he chastises you, hey, keep it moving. Keep it moving. Take it. Because at the end of the day, it's just me and Christ, nobody else. Me and Christ. And can't no one understand where I'm coming from but him. So if y'all feel confused or anything like that, confusion comes from the enemy. When you have a relationship with Christ, it's a little bit different. Because it's personal. My relationship with Christ ain't like my wife's relationship with Christ. It's different. And I say that in a good way. It's different. Because there's some areas where she's strong in that I'm not. So it's a little different. He talks to her a little different than he talks to me. He talks to everyone a little different. It depends on how much time you put in with him and how much he knows you and you know him. That's really all I got to say. Y'all keep me in prayer. I believe either tonight or in the morning I'm going to go in and hospital for a few hours and get some work done. Keep me in prayer. Keep my chaos in prayer. We've excited to say that in September, Chaos is going to Kentucky to do another revival. We've been asked to come to Lexington, Kentucky. So keep us in prayer as we're going to be on the move in Lexington. I believe the 24th, 25th, 26th, we're still checking it out. But the Lord is opening so many doors. And it's like, okay, at first I thought it was the devil, but the Lord said, I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. If you delight yourself in me, he'll give me the desire. And a lot of stuff is just happening. And it's like, wow. And I just can't believe it. And it's just like, okay, they want us to come to Lexington. We'll be there. We will be there. So y'all keep us in prayer. Keep me in prayer. Again, I just want to thank all those that are listening on tonight, all those that listened last week when I wasn't here. My wife did, I thought she did a good job, but she say I'm biased. But, you know, she is helping me, getting me back my strength and making sure that I'm okay. So for y'all that reached out, I thank you. But, you know, you heard me tonight, and, you know, I'm starting to get my strength back. I listened to the lesson yesterday, and I was on my feet wanting to shout. That's the type of word I like to listen to. But at the same time, y'all just continue to pray for us. And with these cliches, let go, let God. If you're really going to let go, really let God do it. And if you got some situations you're going on where it's hard for you to let go, cry out to the Lord. Cry out to him. He will hear your cry, and he will intervene because he has a relationship with you. And when you have that relationship, can't no one tell you what you're doing or what you're saying is wrong. The Lord will be with you. He will lead and guide you. And surround yourself around a group of, and this is for the men. I can't talk for the women. Around some real men who will lead and guide you in doing the right thing. And that's really all I want to say. And I know I didn't touch the nerve on some men because I said it's easy for them to sit back because they're not real men. Real men is going to want to be in the forefront. They're going to want to do some battle. And even though we know how to leave it in the Lord's hand to let him battle for us. It's just the fact that you put a sword in my hand and you put that helmet and that shield on, you don't want to fight. You don't want to throw a blow. Because that's what real men do. But we in a generation where we let these real men off easy by not doing nothing. Just sorry, they don't do nothing. Don't pray, don't do nothing. Just sorry. I can't even say the word sorry enough the way I want to say sorry. Just don't do nothing. I want to look good, pretty boys, but don't want to fight, don't want to throw a punch, don't want to do nothing. Wife, I'm going to say this, I'm going to close out, and you can give the prayer and the schedule and everything. But, you know, we got a basketball hoop in front of our house, and a group of kids come over here and play basketball. And what bothers me about these group of kids that play basketball, because I'm from the old school, they be out there in Crocs and flip-flops playing basketball. It bothers me because it's like you really can't play, and that's not the equipment to use to play basketball. And it bothers me. And when I see men come to church and I see them, but they're not doing nothing. It's just like, okay, you got to quit. It just bothers me. That's not what the subject was about today. I've been on this men thing because I see a lot of men not doing things, but I'm getting a beep, so I'm over my time. Wife, go ahead and dismiss us. And thanks for all those that was praying for me, keep me in your prayers, and keep my boys in your prayers, and keep my wife's daughter. Just keep everybody in prayer. Let's just leave it like that. Cover everybody. Keep everybody in prayer.
All right. I'm going to ask that you all pray for the people in Haiti, as well as our troops. Also pray for the people being affected by this new strand, this Delta variant. I know some people still don't think this is real or whatever. I lost somebody that was pretty close to our family, and it is real. And I know a lot of people have lost loved ones. So please wear your mask. I know everybody think that they don't need to wear it, but just to be safe, I mean, what is it hurting? I mean, just be careful out there. Think of other people. Even if you don't care that you don't need it for yourself, just think about other people who may not be as healthy as you are. Just keep them in mind when you're out and about. I'm going to give out our the email address for our church. It is ptcforchrist@gmail.com. Again, that's P for praise, T for tabernacle, C for church, forchrist@gmail.com. And that's going to be for any prayer requests that you have, any testimonies that you would like to send. Also, in regards to our schedule, join us at the same number tomorrow at 7 p.m. for our PTC Bible study. We have a great, awesome team who brings forth the word every Tuesday. So tune in tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Wednesday at 9 p.m., we have Elder Brizard, I believe. Thursday night at 7 p.m., we have Bishop Omar Zachary and family. Tune in to hear awesome word from our bishop. And that's, again, 7 p.m. on Thursday. Saturday night, we do have the overseer, Timothy Jackson, Rain and Love Ministries, who comes on at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central. And then on Sunday, meet us again here at 9 a.m. For our Praise Tabernacle Sunday morning service that starts at 9 a.m. That's our weekly schedule. Before I go into prayer, husband, did you have anything else you needed to say?
I wish you just would have went into prayer because, you know, I always got something I got to say.
Just
remember everybody. What's that? I want to talk about, well, you brought up something that kind of struck my nerve a little bit, but because I had to focus on what I had to focus on, I couldn't focus on what the song I played in earlier because I played a song by R. Kelly. He prayed, you know, prayer changes things. And next week, I want to get into that a little bit because I think that you being hypocritical by saying you don't like the song when it's about prayer. Regardless who sung it, it's about prayer. But you can give a pass to people, like what's that pastor name, Pastor Gray, that didn't have all them affairs, and the reality show, bought his wife a sports car and all that kind of stuff. We can listen to them and knowing what they did.
I'm going by what I see.
Okay, no, we'll deal with this next week. We'll deal with this next week. But no, no.
Because I like John Gray prior to all this. The first round,
yeah,
okay,
you
I'm like,
pass.
The second round was, hold on.
But you can watch his show and do all of that, but you don't.
Because
it's not on no more.
You're telling. I wouldn't watch it right now anyway because of all that stuff that went down. So that's not true. That was prior to all of that. So say it the right way.
Yes. I'm just saying what I'm saying. You know, regardless of the person that sings the song, it's about the words that come out.
About messing with young girls. That's the problem. Abuse.
I ain't got nothing to do with that. It's the song. Okay, we're not seeing.
I'm not talking about consenting adults. I'm not talking about consenting adults, so we're not going to go there.
We're not talking about adults. I'm talking about a song that says prayer changes things. I'm talking about words.
You can like the song, not have to like it.
Well, I'm just saying that's being hypocritical. You can't be hypocritical when there's a song that's talking about prayer.
No. Come on now.
That's what's wrong with church folks now. It's stuff like that. It's stuff like that. You cannot let it go. You cannot let it go.
Next week, if this is what we're going to do, bring your boxing gloves. So I'm going to leave it at that. Anything else you got to say outside of that?
No, I'm not going to say anything else because you're saying being boxing gloves, you're going to have the police at our house with a domestic that I really hit you with a boxing glove. Because what you're saying is people have songs, all them old gospel singers did that we used to beat their wives and you and sing them songs. And still, it's not
the,
okay.
When you don't know, you can't be held accountable for something you don't know.
I'm not going to argue about music that's gospel music that comes from the word,
but
it's not the individual. You're looking at the individual.
It
is gospel music.
It was a gospel. It was a church song that he sang. Anyway, to be continued, we're going to close it on tonight. Thank y'all for tuning in. Pray that you all have a blessed week. Continue to lift our country up in prayer. Continue to lift Haiti up in prayer. Florida, with this storm that's coming through, I pray for the safety of the people in Florida and as it passes through Georgia. I pray for everyone is safe here as well. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you just let your will be done in our lives. At the end of the day, your will is what matters. Draw us closer to you. Help us continue to be that light for someone else that's not knowing which direction to go. Let our light shine. Let your light shine through us so that somebody may want to see, you know, and draw closer to you. And we need you right now, Lord. Bottom line is we need you. We need you every day, all day. Continue to watch over our families, our friends, our associates. Continue to watch over our households. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Good night, everybody.
Six-time Super Bowl.